Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Podcast. That is, yes, no, it really will have a name. We're serious. We're absolutely serious. We're right on the cusp of doing so, but we want to bring it out in style. So one more show, and one more show and one special, because we'll have a special next week. I know we talked about things about a week ago, but things have kind of changed, and I'll talk about why in a minute. But first up, let me welcome back my broadcasting partner from San Diego, Mr. JJ Muddall.
What? Is it time? Is it time for the show?
Yeah. Can you remind me what my name is? Because I didn't mention my name.
I think so. Oh, man.
East Coast to West Coast. And on top of that, daylight savings time. Thank goodness this CSUN thing moves to March 21st next year. Because, golly, that's just...
Daylight saving time. It's always a pet peeve of mine. Daylight savings time is where you go to, like, the Walmart and...
Yes, that's right. Dollar saver. Somebody else who was there and is probably having a bit of a time distortion of his own since he lives in Arizona. Mr. Jeff Bishop. Hello, Jeff.
Yes, we're the only smart people in the United States as far as not changing times.
What is this time you speak of?
Yes, what is this time you speak of?
I have to agree, at least on that particular issue. Yes, that's what we should.
Yeah, Arizona has a lot of other really horrible things about it.
But that's one you have figured out correctly.
That's one we've got it right.
And somebody who was not traveling, and we called him in for a story to be coming up a little later, but Jamie Pauls. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, good to be here. I would like to officially lodge my complaint against daylight saving time. I despise it, although, I mean, it's nice in the summertime, but it's the transition thing that I dislike.
You can put it on the government bug tracker.
Yeah, because they really are going to pay attention to what I have to say about that, right?
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Gentlemen, we actually had formed our mighty Voltron robot of technology earlier this year for this year in AT, and we have assembled once again mainly to talk about Apple. But before we do that, let's go ahead and go over some of the things that happened at CSUN. I warned the audience that I have no idea how this podcast is going to go. We have no set real format. This is going to be very free form, so there isn't a direct format if you watch some of our shows. No, there actually have been plans before. I didn't roll a 20 sided die.
Than usual this time, huh?
I made a saving throw in the podcast, but we're going to take it a little freeform here, so not really tips or anything in the middle of the show. We're just going to go from CSUN to some of the stuff that happened while we were gone, and then we're going to roll into the Apple news, or at least that's the plan. We'll see how things go. And then next week, we will have our CSUN 30 special that was supposed to be this week, but Apple's event kind of changed everything about that. But first up, news from the 30th anniversary of the California State University Northridge Conference. Great weather.
It was 80 on Friday and Saturday, actually, which was awesome because that was towards the end of the conference and the times that we had maybe a little more time to get outside and not be in the exhibit hall all day. It was hot in San Diego. The exhibit hall was definitely pretty hopping, especially on Wednesday, the first day. They have the special hours to go into the evening, and it's very, very interesting. Gets packed in there a little bit sometimes. It's crazy. And the showcase suites, that's another cool thing. Even if you're not paid at the conference, you can go to these showcase suites, and Google has one. Adobe has one. IBM has one. I think AT&T had one. There were several. And a lot of times they were just full of people doing demos of products. You did a glass demo. What was that, Joe?
I was walking around the exhibit hall, and there was a booth in the middle of the exhibit hall where I got to live the dream that I've talked about on podcasts for several years. I actually wore Google Glass while someone gave me instruction on where to go and how to walk around the exhibit hall. So I had headphones on while wearing Google Glass, and I was using my cane. And I have to say, it wasn't exactly the experience I thought it might be. I was kind of distracted by the audio, and I kind of wish I was using something like, say, Aftershocks, you know, with bone conduction, because it really did affect my ability to hear around me. And that kind of bothered me a little bit because I use echolocation to a minor extent. It was interesting, though, to have someone in real time giving you that be my eyes like experience while you're wearing these glasses. Had a good conversation with them about what they plan to do and if Google Glass will continue to be the delivery method for this. Of course, the downside to that is data connection, like some of the other things that we've talked about before. But they're looking to do a service. It seems to be a crowded space, this camera to assist visually impaired and blind people thing. But it was neat because I've been talking about it forever. Now I've done it.
That happened really quickly, too. The whole crowded, I mean, it was a space that was hardly anything. People talked before, like, oh, yeah, you could use your camera and you could use FaceTime and you could have people tell you where you're at. But suddenly, all at once, Be My Eyes, Visual Access had a session, which is another one, but paid. In a similar vein, Orcam, oh man, these are the glasses that you wear, and they had them recognizing objects and people and text, but the founder developer version, you know, the beginning version, the beta, if you will, is $2,500, and then it's going to go up to $3,500 this summer. Anyone buying that? I mean. Yeah.
Not here. Yeah, all right.
What was good, Jeff? What did you see in the hall or around the conference? What kept you busy?
Well, this was the year for math at CSUN, as well as NVDA. NVDA got a lot of play at this conference. And the interesting thing, and I know it's not in the show notes as far as the presentation, but they saved probably one of the best presentations until Friday, the very last session at 4:20, where they talked about the new Math Player 4.0 release.
Yeah.
Yes. Very, very exciting stuff, and stuff that really will help a lot of people. And so I was
seen
really
the Baram, Dave McDonald, different people on that.
And the room was packed. I got there early so that I could grab an outlet to charge my phone before I flew away. And so I was sitting in the corner, and I really was happy that I did that because the room was just completely packed and it was very hard to even get out of that room.
I read a really good summary of that session, kind of talking about. So this is involving MathML and Math Player, which basically means you can read equations inside your web browser or in some screen readers inside Microsoft Office.
Yep, that's right.
Or even in PowerPoint.
And WindowEye support's coming later, so that's really good.
Well, didn't WindowEye support some of the initial ones before the others? And then NVDA kind of came behind it, and JAWS came behind it with the...
And then WindowEye will then get to 4.0 again, apparently. So
that's a really
very,
cool
very
thing,
exciting.
Yeah. And now, it was buried at the end of the conference there.
It was. I made a comment that this should have been on Wednesday. You know, this should have been a keynote of the conference. It was very, very exciting, and it was just very, very receptive. I was extremely impressed with the fact that it was the last session, and the room, you couldn't have put another person in that room.
40-minute sessions, which I think was a good idea this year. There was a lot more exhibit hall.
Not everyone's saying that, though.
You think?
Interesting that you say that, because I think it depends on the session. Now, this was my first time doing a session. We did one with Ted Drake. I did on small business accessibility. And we fit in 40, and you know, we didn't really have any time for any questions, but you know, we were just getting done. We had to kind of towards the end go a little faster, but ours did not feel rushed. I think 40 was fine. Now there's other sessions where I don't know. I mean, like the dueling mobile, how did that work out in 40 minutes? I mean, I don't know. I didn't go to that one, so you're right.
They did okay on that. They did okay on that. They had to rush a little bit, but it worked out okay.
How was that?
Well, I know. Lainey had expressed that she was kind of disconcerted and discombobulated by 40 minutes. And, you know, some Dave, if you listen to our audio coverage here from HIMSS, one of our sponsors for some of the audio coverage that we have for CSUN, Dave Wilkinson kind of had to hurry his Blaze ET stuff because he was used to the old timing.
Yeah,
and for a lot of people who've done this a couple of times, they were kind of thrown. But for new people, I don't think it was a big deal.
The other session that was really popular was the session about screen readers, you know, the dueling screen reader one, where they took VoiceOver and JAWS and NVDA, and they did a bunch of web stuff. And I was very surprised on the result of that, actually. That one very much surprised me.
I heard that VoiceOver was doing better than people had thought
Everybody
it would.
Everybody else, and that surprised me, to be honest with you.
I would expect NVDA to win that.
Yes,
I would expect WindowEye to be represented, and it wasn't. But
it was represented. Well, they talked about it.
Okay.
But which was good, because if they didn't, I was about to say something in the room. But they definitely talked about WindowEye and encouraged everyone to go try it and gave the web address and, you know, for the free version and all of that.
Well,
so that was good.
Well, that's interesting.
I was really happy.
Right. Yeah, I would MBDA, I have long thought, I mean, the 9, do I use it more? I've long thought it to be the leader in the web with WindowsWise 9 kind of catching up right behind it.
I was floored by that. I couldn't believe it.
Well, speaking of web stuff, Spartan was talked about. Microsoft was there in full force, and they had several sessions. Was. Google was there. There were Apple people walking around. They didn't necessarily have sessions per se. But
Google was there. They brought 60 people.
60 people. And boy, did they have a party. Amazing. Holy smokes.
Oh, yes. Yep. Legendary.
Wow.
Yep.
That
was awesome. But I mean, I saw you know quite a few of the big names, and not even you know a lot of accessibility people, but some of just the heads of various Google departments were there, or you know in charge. Yeah, whatever.
Brand marketing was really cool. I talked to Erica and a couple of people from brand marketing, and that was a blast.
Google.org, Google Wallet, some of the places that you might not have heard, you know, expected to be there, at least sent somebody, maybe just for the party, but hey. But then they had a showcase suite as well where you could go check out, you could play with Android phones and Chromebooks and NVDA running computers and doing docs and things like that. So that they had that going on. Yeah, Apple did at least send a person or two. So while they don't usually have a presence, they did at least send a person or two down.
They even brought some web engineers because they were sitting next to me in the pre-conference ARIA workshop. So I had an opportunity to talk to them a little bit.
Comcast booth dead center in the hall.
Oh yeah, right. You know, and they sent some good people there. They were always one of the most packed, of course, doing the X1 demonstrations. We did a pretty lengthy one of that and a few podcasts back with Liam Irvin. And they were big. The KNFB booth was buried in the back corner, probably because they signed up towards the end. So the Sensitech booth was there, and they're next to another company called Amedia, which had a what's the right word for that? It's an app, another OCR app. Sure. You can go listen to our podcast and see. It's I don't even know how to pronounce it. IU Movie or something. It's from Japan, and it probably works better. It works with Chinese text and Korean text, and maybe it does better with that stuff. But in our demo, it wasn't doing so well. And that was when I was letting them hold the phone around for the demo. So,
Optelec had the new Compaq 5, which looks a lot like, like a bright version of the Ruby from Freedom Scientific. It's got a much thicker handle. Those who've ever handled a Compaq before might remember the switch blade like handle that used to come out of the original Compaq. I mean, literally, you could file it off and use it in prison as a shank. The newer one is much rounder and has a good grip style to it, and has the high definition camera. There was a lot of talk about high definition and the like, and mostly that's down to they can't get older parts anymore, so they have to be using high definition cameras more than anything else. I have a link to the interview I did with North Park AT. Oh, sorry, North State AT. I'm thinking South Park. North State AT. And they had a video magnifier that was connected to an off-the-shelf HP Android tablet, 22-inch Android tablet running 4.2. And while the price was $3,600, and that was kind of scary, it was interesting to see people taking off-the-shelf parts and kind of putting them together, which is kind of the way CSUN used to be. It used to be ages ago, you would meet some guy who'd figured out to put a video camera onto a television and sell it as video magnifier back in L.A. Mm. So there was a little bit of that spirit here. And it used apps from the Google Play Store and Amazon App Store. And they chose it because the HP unit had tactile buttons on it. That was one of the reasons why they chose this particular large Android tablet, because it already had some things you would usually find on a video magnifier. But he was using pinch and zoom and normal gestures and tapping on the screen to be able to start initiate the conversation of playback with speech, which was kind of trippy.
That's interesting. There, you know, you need some different approaches in the hall, and not everyone was doing that this year, but that's always true. There's some new and there's some old, at least, you know, and sometimes the new works. Sometimes, I mean, Handytech, though, musical braille display. Uh-huh.
Musical braille display, that I niche within a niche within a niche was a phrase.
It does other things too. Okay, really, it's the updated Braille Star is what it is, and it's the active braille. And so it's a line that they felt like needed refreshing, which I agree. It's an older, that Braille Star was an older, kind of heavy, bulky braille display, and this one's a little lighter. So if you want
that's a differentiator. That's kind of neat, though.
It is. It is kind of neat. As you move your fingers, since they have the technology, the active braille and the active touch, as you move your finger across the display, it'll play the different notes in his braille music.
It's kind of like the graphing calculator for music.
Yeah.
with the ascending scales. Humanware and the Trekker, you talked to Greg. Right.
That Trekker Plus, that was a bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess breathe a little bit new life into that. Greg sounded like he was a big advocate for making that happen when he was demonstrating that in the podcast. And it was basically, hey, you know what? We still see it. We have some users that can use the Trekker. It probably doesn't cost us a lot to get a much better GPS chip in there, and let's do it and actually make, you know, if we're going to still sell the thing, let's make it work a little better. That was the vibe I got from that.
Well, the VA, you know, still looking for stuff. And I actually talked to Vinny Rappa a little bit about that in our CSUN 30 special about legislation and does that make a difference. And it was interesting to get a different perspective because you and I have debated about that, Jay, a little bit on the show. So it was interesting to get kind of a vendor perspective on that.
There's a cool Nemeth tutorial that APH has put up. It's kind of like those ones that used to be on the, I believe it was like on the Pac-Mate and a couple others that used to pay a whole bunch of money for. Well, it's now free. It's on the APH website. And we talked to Larry about that and a million other things, as usually happens.
Nearby Explorer for iOS.
Yeah, he backed off on that a little bit, which I thought was interesting.
Rats.
He's like, well, he said, well, you know what? We're not even entirely sure if it's needed, which some people had asked us on Twitter when I posted the original about that. So I think they're still kind of trying to examine that market a little bit and decide if, you know, I definitely think it's a different product than what's out there, but will enough people, and that will be their
I think sell. People would buy it. I think people would buy it just on reputation.
I think once they understand what it does, how it's different, it's going to take a little bit of time for people to. But
it does the same thing right now. Out there now.
Yeah, I mean that's how it was with Blind Square at first too. Why would I get Blind Square when I can get Apple Maps or whatever? And then it just keeps going with things like that. So we did a lot of coverage.
EBOT. EBOT was updated. They were demonstrating it on a Android tablet. But the funny thing was that if you took a selfie with Big E, you were entered into a raffle to win stuff like Amazon gift cards. AI Squared had a burrito tasting at their party.
Wait. I'm not going to. Was the raffle prize a visit by Big E to your house?
I don't think so. But. You know,
I don't know if I'd
the robots are taking our jobs. He could be there. He could come in on an Amazon drone for all we know.
Okay, anyway, back to burritos.
burritos. Then, right? There were multiple types of burritos, and we could vote on your favorite burrito. AI Squared is going to publish the results
Someone was cutting them up. That makes more sense. They should have been cut up in little small, like half burritos. Then I could have had all three. There was no way I was eating three full size burritos with French fries.
Oh, man, it was great. Oh, no. Mine were cut in half. Oh, where were you, man? Mine were cut down to half. The Lolita and something else. They all had potato in them, which was kind of that Verde style.
Oh, I love that. That's California. That's how they do it.
Baum had. Their famous desserts up in the Baum suite.
Yes.
So that was going on.
They did Jaws 20th anniversary. I missed that one, but I heard it was really packed and they had a whole bunch going on.
Sendero had their big thing. Jeff, did you went to that one?
I did briefly. It was pretty late when they got started on that. And, you know, they had mainly drinks and things.
They always do a late night thing, which is cool.
I did pick up a Victor Reader Stream while I was there.
Woohoo!
Yeah, bought one.
Which you can listen to this very podcast line on the Victor Reader Stream by going to the Humanware playlist. I'm not completely asleep, folks. I can still hawk it with the best.
AMI. From Canada.
Oh, Amy. Oh, yes. Yeah, Accessible Media up in Canada. Mm-hmm. Good night. Those guys were packed. Holy cow. Yeah,
that was on Tuesday night. So, you know, usually there wasn't much going on.
Pre-conference.
That seemed like a good time to do rocking. One. People were just coming in. Hey, it's the first. So that was really cool. I got with those people for a while.
And a bunch of people in our blindness industry. So Steve Sachin and, of course, Sina. We also, Laura Legendary was there.
I didn't see her.
Oh, you did? Yeah, oh, she was walking in front of me.
How did you not see everybody? Come on. He was there. Josh Mealy was there.
I mean, Jim Gashel, hi. Yeah.
I did see Jim.
There was
Chancey
also,
Fleet from NYPL.
Yep. There was Chancey and Jim Patillo and Jenny Lineback from DeQ. And it was more blind people than I've usually seen at a CSUN.
That's true. It does seem, I mean, maybe 30 was part of that, but I think more of the tech-connected blind are catching on to how cool of an opportunity this conference can be. And, you know,
tons of networking.
Whether it's networking or maybe you can find a job. People are looking for smart people who know tech. And
well, I was just going to say that the real gem of this conference is networking. Some of the best things that took place for me were the private meetings that we had with, you know, a number of companies. And those are really the highlights of the week for me.
Well, see, and that's bored out by Jamie not jumping in and saying, ooh, what about blank? Because Jamie, you were on the outside. We were in the echo chamber. So
You know, it's interesting because in years past, I've done a search on Twitter. I just opened up a buffer of CSUN. And of course, that's a bit overwhelming. It's a bit daunting. But I didn't do that this year, and I kind of wish I had because I felt like I didn't get as much information. I mean, you see the mentions of social, you know, hey, let's meet up, let's have a bite to eat, let's have a drink. And that's cool, but I think if you're on the outside, it can almost look like that's all that's going on or the majority of what's going on. And I think
it looked that way each morning, actually, several of us might have looked like, because, yeah.
But from what you're saying, that just scratches the surface. I mean, yeah, that's going on, but there's a lot more behind
sessions,
the scenes there.
Lots of great sessions. This year was not the exhibit hall, and that reflects out in our coverage because some of the stuff we already had in ATIA and nothing had really changed. It's one of the reasons why you have to be careful when you cover multiple shows like this because ATIA is so close to CSUN that it's literally the people you saw 28 days before. And they are still discombobulated or learning their technology or updating their sales pitch. So it's not a lot has changed or features have been added. Next year, with it going to March 21st, there's a little bit more breathing room. And something you may hear at ATIA may change by the time you get to CSUN.
Have you guys, I saw it mentioned briefly way back when there's a site called Eventifier. And they archive tweets and posts and things like that. And it looks like, from browsing this, they do have every CSUN 15 tweet, 7,709 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So
some of them are quite much the, hey, I'm over in the bar. Where are you, CSUN 2015?
20 minutes later, hey, I'm still at the bar. Hey, I'm still here. So lots going on. So you can go to blindbargains.com. You can see all the audio coverage that we did from CSUN, over 20 of them, thanks to the American Foundation for the Blind, again, AFB, for sponsoring the exhibit hall. Really appreciate them having them on board once again. So that's over at blindbargains.com. If you go to /audio, then you'll get straight to the audio page. You can go to the Blind Bargains app and get them that way. And, of course, you can just check out all the audio. Yeah, we tweet them out as well. Did over 20 of them again this year. And they've been posted over the past week. And thanks to Patrick Perdue and Ricky Inger behind the scenes for helping with all of that. So lots as we wrap up from CSUN, and again, got some really cool interviews about the 30th anniversary and some recollections from some people. So we'll be playing some of them next week.
And some content deals. I was actually in more interviews than I was conducting because there's some really cool stuff coming up for convention, and we have agreements to go ahead and have some of that stuff ready to go for when it rolls. So I'm really excited about that. Two or three things before summer that I am extremely excited about. So there's more audio content to come because the networking was definitely happening all over the place. That wasn't the only thing that was happening. No, not Apple. There were some other things that happened while we were gone. And WindowEyes 9.1 released. That was nice. They released that the day of the conference, which was last Wednesday by the time of this recording. So that was out and about.
You go, I think, yeah, I know you got both of you guys, Jeff and Jamie, right? I've probably played with that a little bit as far as...
Yeah, Chrome support.
I need to install
better,
it.
better web support. Lots of great stuff there. Of course, just lots of improvements in stability and performance and...
Chrome and, support as well in that, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, just
some
yeah,
good support, good feedback on that from the talk list, which is the AI Squared's WindowEyes
new GW list. Info list, basically.
Yeah, a lot of good feedback on the Chrome support.
Yeah, people love that.
That's surprising. You know, people probably just started having really used Chrome. A lot of blind people. So it's Chrome's a snappy web browser, and I'll definitely start to look at it and see how it works out. So that, you know, that'll be cool. Yeah, place markers and element properties, a couple of things that at first weren't in 9 are back in 9.1. We'll get the full change log up on our website. You can check that out, and it's a free update for 9.
But the new Element properties is on steroids. I mean, that's
way better than the old one, right?
Way yeah. better. I mean, you ever wanted to know something about an Element, you're going to find out about it.
There's, you know, like every single possible little thing.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, so if you're a developer, but if you're a web developer, that's really interesting that's information to
absolutely.
Have. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Great to have. Very mm-hmm. useful.
And they definitely were working on it, and not everybody brought their full teams to CSUN this year. A lot of people kept some of their teams back to do things like WindowEyes 9.1 or had some people guarding the home front. And I think you're starting to see some of that research and development paying off, especially when you see a free release like this.
Well, and that's noticeable too, right? I mean, with the merger... Doug wasn't there. He wasn't at ATIA either. Dan wasn't there. You know, the people that would have to give up programming for a week to come to these shows, now they can, if they love the program more, they can do that. But other people handle selling the thing.
I was sad to not see Doug there, though. I was looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Always love seeing him. Well,
it feels Jeremy's. Weird when an icon isn't there. I agree absolutely. With Jeff. I mean, that's why I was glad to see Steve Baum and some others. It does feel kind of strange to walk the floor and not run into one or two of those people.
No. And they're getting up there too. You know, these giants, you know, in 10 or 20 years, a lot of these guys are not going to be in the industry and, you know.
To find the next group.
The next group of people. Yep.
You know, you could use Chrome with TalkBack. There was an updated TalkBack that just recently came out. In fact, I was updating right before the show. And also, Android 5.1 will be dropping soon. That will be very interesting. Now, in the Android 5.1 edition, there is going to be a way to lock your device, and you have to put in your Google Play ID information in order to unlock it. So you flip that thing, and you have to enter in your correct creds to be able to get in, and a factory reset will not get rid of it. So Ars Technica says right here. So that is definitely going in the direction of Find My iPhone and Passlock and some of the other things that Apple was doing. And of course, it's a law. California passed a law, and the federal government's kind of going to probably go behind it more than likely, that more of these kill switch type programs exist, because it really has affected the ability of thieves to gain money off of selling used iPhones. So Google is definitely heading to the party and giving us control to be able to lock those devices remotely. Jay, you were reading the changelog on TalkBack. Anything new there?
You know, it's a little confusing. There's a couple of things. It's like something about support for switching between apps. What does that mean? I don't know. Support for hints. Okay, that's probably like the how VoiceOver has hints. So maybe you can do that as a developer now. It's supposed to be better latency or improved latency. And also some more web view improvements, which we had with some of them in 5.0, among a couple other things. So we'll kind of test that out and play with that.
My Galaxy seems snappier. It feels good. Snappier from just anecdotally just playing with it for like an hour before we walked in. So it feels that way.
I have to play with it. The keyboard's always the one that's, the one thing I've noticed. I mean, Android in general is pretty good, especially with Eloquence or Vocalizer. But the keyboard on the iPhone is definitely a little snappier than an Android.
And snappier is 8.2. Guys, did you update your iOS devices? We're recording on Monday night, so this is right after the event.
Yeah,
and I did.
I've not had a
iOS
chance
8.2
yet.
Oh, yeah.
I did. I did update.
Jeff,
it took a
Jamie,
long
I'll let
time.
You go and you update and come back.
Yeah.
I thought, wait a minute, though. I'm confused, though. I thought the watch was supposed to be on the iPad, too. I don't see it at the watch app.
The watch app? No, I don't believe it's on the iPad.
No, I believe it's phone only. Because I don't think they really announced support for the watch to talk to that. Even with the SIM card, I don't think it will talk to it, but I won't completely stand
it. I think it's tied in with Apple Pay and the whole mobile.
Got you.
You know, the phone needing to bridge the watch and all of that. So I think
there's a new Uber app. You can get an Uber from your watch.
You can, yes.
And Uber has been updated for iOS finally. That was a big one over the week. Liam and others were talking about how it was announced that there was finally a new version of Uber that
and
would work
accessible.
Pretty. Yeah, that's
a
accessible.
Mandatory update. They made you people update to that.
And for Android as well, because that Android update went out around the same time. So it must have been something that was universal.
I'm still seeing the usual things on Android. I'll have to.
Yeah, no, I didn't say there was an accessible Android version.
Wait, it's still about 75%.
It was just an update. I'm not going that far.
No, wait a minute. What Trivia Crack got updated? That's the important one.
Trivia Crack got updated for both iOS and Android, and the Android version is working much better than it.
The version is more accessible than the iPhone version. And people are like, well, but the iPhone version is already accessible. Yeah, but you know, so on the iPhone, unless they fix it today, when you look on the main screen and you're looking at a game, it would just say JJ, Joe, and then it'll say 1, 4, 17, like the numbers along with the crowns and things like that. And on the Android version, it reads it all out like it's supposed to with the heading, you know, 5 crowns versus, you know, Joe, 5 crowns, JJ, 4 crowns, level 7, you know, so little things like that, the question factory.
Maybe I don't want to see my abysmal score on Trivia Crack.
That's a
feature, not a bug.
Exactly.
Yeah. Probably best that way.
For me, anyway.
iAssociate updated. There's people out there who were telling me on Twitter, enough about this Trivia Crack thing. I like the new iAssociate update, and that's one of Ricky's new levels. Favorite games.
I need to play with that again. I haven't played with that for a while.
It's a great party game.
It is a great game. I love that game.
Yeah. My mother and I would play that while watching NFL games. That was kind of our thing in 2013. We would sit around, especially because that was the season where the Texans were like 2-14. So we actually played the game more than we actually... Before it was just like, every time interception, let's go back to the game.
One more update that's not on Apple. In case you missed it last week, there was an update pushed to the Blaze Easy from HIMS, and it at least now gives you NLS playback, which was missing, and doesn't do the downloads yet, but you can now copy stuff in from your computer and things like that. And the download thing should be shortly behind. You also get an internet radio directory, which is cool. And a few other, you know, bug fixes and things like that. So we've updated you on that.
EXT got an update not too long ago, too. I heard them mentioning around the booth. So still support for the XT units, which is cool because, of course, there's the ET phone home units right around the corner.
ET. Right, yes. I know we're having a lot more of that. Probably towards this summer, I would think, on the Blaze ETs. Sounds like, too, with the Smart Beto, they're still finalizing some things, so it might be a little while before it comes out.
You know, the Vario and that were still hot commodities. People were asking us on Twitter to go buy
and they both seem to be, you know, like, they don't want to rush them out, either company, which is probably good.
So has anyone mentioned any updates to the Braille Edge? I mean, I would like to see UEB support in the Braille table, for one thing.
It doesn't have it.
I'm pretty sure it does not.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah.
You would think the way HIMS traditionally does their updates and their coding, they seem to be really good, better than the others at cross-device code. It seems like once a feature pops up somewhere, it'll cross over. So you would think, because they're going to need to be doing it for the senses if it isn't already there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you would think it would cross over, and the Beetle's going to need it, right? And so, you know,
well, they're usually good about unified because of the driver too. Don't I mean, you know, if you have a HIMS driver, it tends to work for most of the displays.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So there's definitely that going out as well. And that seems to be wrapping it up for what we had going on while we were gone. And CSUN, when we come back right after this conversation in a little bit, we will talk more about the Apple event and our thoughts on that, but let us tell you a little bit about classifieds. You know, one of the things that was still going on while we were in CSUN was the ability for people to get some of the best deals right there from blindbargains.com or the Blind Bargains Twitter, because those who were following us looking for CSUN audio, hey, they learned about some awesome deals in the classified section.
I love them. I mean, you know, I get a lot of really cool, cheap stuff. You know, sometimes it's a $20 little item that I've bought or sold, and sometimes it's a Braille display, and there's lots of really cool deals out there. So if you're looking for anything from a note taker to, you know, an eye grill or, I don't know, you know, whatever, maybe you want some jewelry, we get some of those posts that come through every so often. You can follow Blind Bargains on Twitter to read the classifieds, and you can go to blindbargains.com and click on classifieds, and you can browse them. You can sell your own. It's just $5 for an ad. And the ads will stay up for 30 days on the website or the app. And there's pretty much no limits. There's the secret. So you hear this right on the podcast, right? There's no real limit on how much you can put in. And you can put three or four products right in your headline if you want. You got up to about 90, 95 characters. So you can sell a couple different things and you can make a little bit of money. You'll make your $5 back. And write me if you want to, jj@blindbargains.com, or tweet at us if you're not sure what you think you might want to charge for something. Some people ask about that. We're happy to help out. So just let us know.
One testimonial about those. When I got a Refresher Braille 18, I really wanted the executive products case for it, and it's no longer being sold. So I put up an ad on Blind Bargains and got one for free shipped to me.
Whoa.
So nice. Yeah. So that $5 paid off.
So there you go, blindbargains.com, and click on classifieds for that. Before we get to our Apple coverage, we're going to play you quickly. We did another little cool crossover thing last week. Brian Smart had the idea, who runs blindy.tv, where you can get audio-described television shows and five different channels. It's really cool. And he had the idea of, hey, we should do some little CSUN drop-ins, you know, like the old radio stations used to do. Like, hey, it's Johnny. We're over here at the used car outlet, and we're we got balloons for the kids. And so we recorded a whole bunch of little 60-second, you know, minute and a half little blurbs as I was at various parties and the exhibit hall and things like that. So that was a lot of fun. Those were airing on blindy.tv. And here's one of those right now. And right after that, we'll be back with Apple.
Hey, how's it going? JJ Metal here, live at CSUN 2015. We are here at the AI Squared party with a whole bunch of cool people.
Yeah!
We got lots going on here. They have a burritos, and they have different burritos from different places, and they've been handing them out, and I guess you're supposed to vote for your favorite?
Yeah, I chose Lolita because I remember the movie.
But I can't eat three burritos.
That's a lie. You can do that much alcohol, but you can't eat that many burritos?
Yeah. We came with the hymns party a little earlier, and then we had some of the alcohol, and then we come here. Joe Steinkamp's here with me.
Hello.
You hear him on Blind Bargains Podcast as well. Mike Frazzardo from RS Games is here.
Yes, I am here with CSUN 2015.
Is it your first time, Mike? Your first CSUN, right?
First time, yeah.
What do you think? It's your first day.
I think it's awesome, yeah. I mean, I've been going around in Exhibit Hall, checking out everything, and of course, now I'm here at this awesome party, just having a good time. And
what do you guys see? Awesome. What do you guys see? Any cool new stuff? Or
let's see. I saw a 3D printer. That was pretty awesome.
There was a 3D printer. It was like a chair or something, right?
Yeah, a chair and a skull, like a face.
Yeah, like 3D printed faces. What?
Dead skulls.
That's crazy. Yeah, you're right. The Beetle as well, of course. We talk a lot about that. Smart Beetle from Hims. Yep.
That was my first time to hold that. That was actually a lot more.
It's a sleek looking little braille display. Yeah, it's
very durable.
It's really cool. And Joe did some podcasts with Hims that you'll be hearing over on Blind Bargains within the next few days, and from some of the sessions as well. So be sure to stay tuned for all of that. So to stay tuned for more on Blindy TV, and go to blindbargains.com for all sorts of audio coverage from CSUN 2015 and beyond. Go to blindbargains.com or at blindbargains on Twitter for the podcast feed. Reporting from CSUN 2015 at the AI Squared party for Blindy TV, I'm JJ Meadow.
Oh, those sounds, those lovely sounds, and some of those are going to haunt me forever. Hey, that was Mark next to us. We had Mike from RS Games standing right over when we did that. Judy Dixon, NLS, when we were doing that. That was kind of fun. That was,
again, the burrito party. Yep.
Burritos. Oh, golly. Now I want
20 of those. That was cool. That was a lot of fun.
And it wasn't Taco Bell burritos. I mean, they were real burritos. Real
20 audio recordings, not 20 burritos.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say.
Nice clarification there.
You should put those up in the feed, JJ.
Darn, you were hungry.
Yeah, we'll see what to do.
We'll just release them as one giant audio special or something. That'd be
fun. About that. Yeah. They range from G to R.
The later evening they went. I see. Maybe not. You know,
drunk people. Oh, we can do it as long as it's properly tagged NSFW.
But it was small, intimate things, just like the event that happened in California on March 9th. Maybe spring forward event that happened with a little company you might have heard of called Apple. The event started with Tim Cook coming out and giving out some of the normal numbers porn that was to be expected. Seemed to be playing into. Yeah. An opening with the China launch of an Apple store. That was also very interesting, I thought. Then moved on to Apple Pay and vending machines that use Apple Pay. And that was not to be surprised. That's a good win for them. And how things were going. iPhone sales.
Wonder if any blind vendors are going to end up with those Cook machines and how that'll work.
Oh, man.
I'm dead serious. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. And then moved out of that into really a whole slew worth of information. You weren't kidding, JJ. We have a little bit to go through here. Up front, The Hobby, as in Apple TV. HBO came out and announced that their big partner is going to be Apple for launch
for 3 months.
HBO Now, which is a little different than HBO Go. People were asking me on Twitter what the differences were. HBO Go is their first attempt at mobile slash apps for various platforms like Xbox and PlayStation and others. And it really works on archives. It has a lot of on-demand content. This is going to be HBO Now, which is more streaming stuff. So you're going to be able to watch Game of Thrones as Game of Thrones is happening, rather than having to wait for it to get posted and wait for like some arbitrary thing to happen in 24 hours. Then it's available.
But Joe, isn't it supposed to also have the ability to stream the old archived stuff as well?
That's also what's going to happen for $15 a month, Jeff, which
is I'm not sure it's worth that, but I don't know.
Yeah. You know, if you added this to, say, Sling TV, you're getting really close to paying the same amount of money that you were paying for cable in the first place. So, cord cutters unite, but you're going to be paying the same amount of money.
The cord cutting is never about saving money. As much as people want to reframe that, it's about if you want just a few things. Some people say, I pay $60 for cable, but all I watch is this. If you really want to watch TV all day and 50 different channels and cable, so you're better bet. But yeah, the complete library. I guess you could just get it for a couple months and then binge watch HBO and then drop it. You know,
the big story for me here, though, was HBO was struggling. They had fired several people on that team to get this app out by Game of Thrones launch, and they partnered with some big people like MLB and HBO to go to Apple. They did this to make sure that they had a smooth launch. And they leaned on some very heavy tech partners, and Apple definitely being a good one for that lets them really test that app and their infrastructure rather than having a huge thing hit them all at once worldwide for Game of Thrones and VPNs coming in from all these other countries. And so it said a lot by HBO turning to Apple to help them get through this initial phase.
Well, the bigger story for me, I think, is the reduction of the Apple TV as far as its price.
Yeah, Jamie, how about that price cut?
Hi, that's just lovely. That's the story of my life. $99 is what I paid for it. Now it's $69.
Did you just buy the Apple?
No, I've had it a year.
He's had it for a little while, but they came out with a refresh. This is an old joke between Jamie and I.
Yeah.
It's a little more competitive than with the Roku. The Roku just cut his price, the Roku 3.
Yeah, and Comcast the Chromecast is still out there. And, of course, the Fire Stick is below that. You have a lot of people in this category. I was afraid to buy this, though, at $69 because it just feels like the minute I'm going to buy it, like Jamie, they're going to come out with a doggone refresh.
No, I think there'll be a new one in the fall, but I don't
know. Yeah. I think they're trying to clear out stock.
Yep.
They've had this for this long now.
Yeah.
Well, and the second generation is not getting updates. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of held me, and they keep talking about gaming and coming after, kind of the streaming box thing that's going on, like the NVIDIA Shield, or what happened with Ouya and some other gaming boxes that are out there, the Steam box, which may eventually come out. There was talk about that at GDC this week. So definitely Apple, you know, they've lowered the price on things. They rarely compete on price, and certainly at $69, they're still at the high end of the market. But it was kind of a capitulation for Apple to admit that that was kind of not a thing. 25 million Apple TVs sold. Just to put that in perspective, 25 million over the lifetime, they sell about 25 million max a year. So they are definitely not moving those. Yeah. The concept of Mac moved forward as we left Apple TV and moved into the one port to rule them all. There was an announcement of a new MacBook, USB-C. Not a MacBook Pro, not a MacBook Air, but just a MacBook.
That's really the port thing. I'm not sure what my bigger turnoff is. Yes, I don't own a Mac Mini, and I know I'm a PC user, but I'm not sure if it's the port or the processor, which is comparable to a MacBook Air from 2012.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Bandless, I guess they're going after a different category. You know,
you may have some power boost in that it isn't powering a fan. It certainly is going to be powering a bigger display. By that, I mean DPI slash aperture color rates. And so it's going to be able to push pixels a little faster, or so they say. It's also got a truckload of batteries inside it. It does resemble an iPad Air a little. So there goes that rumor about a gigantic 12-inch iPad still.
No, this is it.
Yeah, this seems like the precursor to that. The comments on Twitter were very varied, and while it is very pretty, it's available in space gray and, of course, gold. Gold is best. Get it out there before Jamie stops me.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. A lot of talk was about the dongles and the fact that people have to carry an Ethernet port cable now. $79, I believe, is one of the prices for an adapter that had some basic functionality that you would find on a laptop. So, you know, and you had to make a decision. Do you want a peripheral or do you want to charge until someone comes out with the pass-through? There's a lot of trade-offs here. I mean, certainly £2. That's awesome. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that.
There's the keys are a little different. Things. There's already other £2 things out there. That, sure. I mean, that
there's some Dells that are a lot lighter and are also fanless.
At least a power port. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. A power port. I mean, that's a huge...
Keyboard's been redone. A little different springier kind of action. Rounder keys so your fingers fit in them a little bit. Forced touch, though.
Yeah, what about this trackpad, huh?
Yeah, that's interesting stuff.
That, and they're going to update the other lines to have some of this technology in it, like the forced touch. That seems to be the big story to take away from here. Yeah.
I think that's a sweet spot. The 13-inch with the new revamped processors and the new... Mm-hmm.
Even the non-retinas, you're going to have more power because you're not having to push all the pixels. So
right. Better
if
battery
you're a blind
life.
User, you want to look at that.
You're getting better battery life, even with the updates. I think that's a sweet spot. I think that's if someone were to buy something right now, that would be the way to go.
Apple has a lot of patents on haptics. And we've talked, Jamie, you and I and Ricky and Lisa have talked about this for years.
Yeah.
This seems like some of that R&D money is starting to come to the forward thinking. Like there was an article I retweeted that was Apple killed the right click. And there was a lot of talk about pressure sensitive clicking and... if you click on this, it automatically opens it up in Wikipedia if you're looking for like a subject. And they were talking a lot about varying UI and user experience. So that seems really interesting because in a way, it's almost like voiceover controls on a trackpad. They're actually moving some concepts to the mainstream on how to do things with touch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and it sounds like they're kind of maybe bringing some of the functionality or the haptics of the watch, the Apple Watch, maybe into this.
Yeah, as well. What's their term for it? I'm saying haptics, but they have their own
taptic touch.
Taptics,
or something like
that's
that?
It. Yeah, taptics, sorry, yeah. Marketing team. Taptics. Yeah, there was definitely some crossover there with continuity. With the watch and doing some of the same things. And yeah, you're right. It's going to cross over at some point. Certainly that will make a big difference for people. On some podcasts now, I actually hear people coming in on their Mac and they forget to put their phone on mute. So their phones actually ring during their podcast because they've got continuity going, which is hysterical.
Or Hey Siri comes on when they're talking because it thinks you're saying Siri.
Yeah.
So Apple, even though this MacBook is going to cause a lot of people to freak out about the ports and everything, there was some other technology there that directly impacts us that may turn out to be super cool.
Yes, this was extremely exciting. And this was the announcement of Medical Research Kit. And there are 5 apps that are out there now available to download in the App Store. And this just sounds like it's going to be absolutely incredible.
And note that they touched on security, that Apple wouldn't see this information.
Yes.
Nope.
They made sure to talk about that. And they made sure that it wasn't them talking about that, which I also noticed. That was interesting that they let that doctor carry the water bearer type information on how to go through all of that and what it involved. It's going to be open source as well, which was also very interesting. Well, so we'll have a little bit of people watching that, I guess. Peer review or peer pressure. Right?
Now, that's, you know... And some people are saying, well, what's the big deal with this? And when you have someone that suffers from Parkinson's or suffers from another disease where research is needed to help cure these, you know, what are often just awful diseases that kill people and make this really, like, you know, limit someone's functionality. To gain that research and to have the possibility of an app that will, you know, pull in some data to try to track down what's going on or, you know, maybe help find cures for these things, that is absolutely huge. And you might not know someone now who suffers from one of these diseases, but it's very possible at some point in your life you will, or it could be you. Right. And anything that can be done to eradicate or help improve the research for any disease is a huge thing.
Two conspiracy theories that were going around on the internet, and I actually made this joke on Twitter. Twitter.com/RangerStation. WebMD hypochondriacs are going to be able to figure things out really fast because they're going to go, oh no, I have the heebie-jeebies. I need to go get blank, blank, blank. You know, there's going to be that, which is going to happen anyway. I mean, that's what happens to WebMD anyway, is the armchair amateur doctoring, if you will.
Oh gosh, yeah, don't do that. I tried that once, and it's like,
yeah, that's
you might have this.
That's not a good thing. Yes, exactly. Yes. It could be any of this. You have dengue fever. The other side is some people took it from, for those of you who had to pay for car insurance or had a sighted spouse or a sighted family member that you're paying for insurance and they had a little dongle that allowed you to drive safer. There were some people saying, aha, you have an iPhone. Would you mind us actually sitting down and looking at your app and your health data? Because we could give you a 10% discount, Mr. Bishop. There was that theory floating around, and the one that I really didn't like was, let's see your health kit before we hire you at this company, because, you know, insurance premiums cost this company a lot of money. So there was a lot of FUD going around, and by FUD, I mean, for those who don't know that term, that's fear, unknown, and doubt. And that usually comes around with any big announcement. I think this is interesting, and I think it's really good. It reminds me of remember the old screensavers? You know, use those unused clock cycles. Help us, you know, find extraterrestrial life like SETI.
There
was one for mapping the human genome and some others. And this just feels like a graduation from that, right? It's like the next step, except it's more personalized. And that's something we're going to see more and more of, like look what happens with 23andMe. That is the next frontier, whether we like it or not. And there's going to be a certain generation that's going to absolutely have no problem doing this. Now, understand, I used to work for Radio Shack, who used to have 50-year-old men want to punch me in the face for asking for their ID to sell them a battery. It has come full circle. So these things change as technology moves forward. And moving forward, iOS 8.2 was released. I downloaded that, and we talked a little bit about it in the news section. Seems snappier. Also has the watch kit stuff right there.
On the phone.
So, yep, right there. They are ramping up for that.
Aren't they running out of
do anything?
Room? Yeah.
Well, people didn't mind going in with VoiceOver to see if it did work. So,
well, no, of course not.
Definitely that.
Well, the app itself is accessible, but I mean, what does that mean? It's nothing. Of course, I mean the apps are always accessible for Apple. They usually design them, you know, just about always.
Generally,
but
yeah,
if they stay within their own standards.
Right, but with no watch, no, you know, watch, no whatever, and. They updated some more integrations with HealthKit as well. It looks like they fixed a lot of the little lingering things there. And that, you know, nothing amazing. There's been rumors floating around, and we don't usually do a lot. Of course, Joe's weekly Apple rundown post covers some of this, but I'm hearing some rumblings that there's some voiceover stuff coming on the Pike in 8.3. So that'll be interesting to see. So we did get voiceover improvements mentioned in the change log, but it really wasn't much. There was a crash bug. That's something that got fixed. You guys see anything else voiceover wise, or is it more wait and see?
It looks like the home button issue where you return to the home screen where you would have a delay has been fixed. I don't see that.
Yes.
Pause.
Yes,
often.
Especially if you went into notifications and you tapped on like weather. Right. Oh,
yeah. The phone would just lock up, you know, and take forever to come back.
You still can't use Siri from messages. If you're in the middle of a text message, the input field or whatever, you can't load Siri. So there's other, you know, there's little voiceover bugs here and there. It's certainly not as bad as it was. If you're still on 7 and you've heard horror stories about voiceover, no. By this point,
no, you're fine.
You're okay. you're okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's never,
right.
Nothing's ever going to be perfect, but yeah.
But mute all your Twitter conversations in June when iOS 9 public beta comes out. Just run for the hills.
Oh, my. I don't even know what we're going to do with this show. Oh, no.
It's going to be a horror show. Big
time. Wait till the public betas of that come out. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it's going to be public this year. Yeah. Public beta.
It's going to be
everybody
horrific.
Be a beta tester. Come down.
It's going to be I pass. I'm good. There'll be enough. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Somebody's got to stay back and report the bugs on the other one. I volunteer.
All right.
And then, of course, we're not burying the lead. We're going in the order of things that were announced here. We went from iOS update to, star of the show.
One more big thing.
Apple Watch is available in a myriad of colors and flavors and bands and accessories, and you can begin your fun at the $17,000. That's the top of the line, but $350 will get you into the sport edition. That just sounds like a car. You know, it's
that
like
made of Legos.
This was hand macrame-ed.
It's a macaroni bracelet. Or you can also get the Fruit Loop option. That's also available.
It's very decorative. It has a shelf life of about 2 years, though. Just ask Kellogg's.
Okay.
So these things are going to be extraordinarily expensive, and if you go for some of the higher end models, they're definitely positioning this for a luxury thing.
Okay, $350 though is not the worst thing ever. You know, I don't know about $350. $10,000.
Well, you could. I said on Twitter, you can possibly get a talking PlayStation 4 because there was a talk this week that betas are showing some text to speech in PlayStation options. Firmware update that might be coming out. $350 could drop you into a Victor Reader Stream almost, or PlayStation 4 rather than a watch, you guys heard all the use cases that they were giving. They were certainly
five
cool.
Windows 8 tablets.
Wow. All right, Walgreens, about 10 Android.
Just giving you options, 10 Chromecasts.
there's the Dick Tracy part of it, talking into the watch. They demonstrated some of the apps in which you could see messages on the watch. They demonstrated the ability to have that be your hotel room key for Starwood Suites, which that's interesting because we talked about, you mentioned the Weekly Apple column. I had an article in there not too long ago where Tim Cook wants that to be your keys for your car. Certainly that'll come over time, but they definitely want to have a bunch of watch apps ready to go to show the use cases. Did you guys see any of the use cases here that kind of struck your fancy or maybe even went, okay, I could see potential?
Well, I think the Taptic thing is very, very interesting. And if you can send different types of taps to people, and so you could come up with a code, your significant other could maybe send you an SOS tap or something just that you
to
know
get you out of that uncomfortable
you,
conversation.
Yes, exactly.
At a party.
Yes, exactly. That was kind of interesting. I did notice that Siri did not talk during the demonstration.
Yes.
Yeah.
It put up the text visually.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's the deal with voiceover?
That's something
then?
To keep an eye on.
We've heard this voiceover. There's voiceover in the SDK. What does that really mean? There's voiceover. I mean, have we really confirmed that it talks? There's a speaker on the thing.
There's
or not?
A speaker on it. There's a microphone on it. There's Wi-Fi on it. No GPS. Bluetooth.
According to one of the people who were at the event, who I was direct messaging with, he told me that Apple did confirm that it did have voiceover.
Right. But now, how far? How much it'll do?
Right. Yeah. We don't know. So I think we're all going to have to wait. This isn't something that I'm going to go out and buy immediately.
Yeah. I think it'll be better than our little Samsung review from Nimmer a couple weeks ago. It was the Gear S that had about three accessible features and 20 that weren't, but I mean, I'm sure it'll be better than that, but.
If you listen to the Twitch stream, Andy Anako is very quick to talk about what features were in other things like the Moto 360 and Galaxy Gear. For me, I woke up a little bit when it was have your watch vibrate when the Uber driver is coming.
That's cool.
That's neat. Yeah. That means I don't have to pull up my phone or you know, have to stick earphones in my ear or anything like that.
Exactly.
Those kinds of things that I kind of like. Anything that's going to help me stay within my
used to hold in my phone. It ain't a big deal.
This watch is not something I will buy unless it has some of the health features that have been rumored. So there's
the glucose monitor supposedly at launch.
That's huge. So there's been this discussion that there's going to be a sensor that can be implanted underneath the skin that the watch will then read every 5 minutes.
What? No GPS.
Wow.
If that's true, if that ability of monitoring glucose stuff is true.
True.
I would spend whatever it took to, you know, I don't want to lose reading my, reading Braille with my fingers. Trust me.
Yeah. 18 hours battery life is what's being said. That's general watch life, not necessarily playing videos or audio.
Right.
Or
doing a but lot isn't of it big 4 to 5 of strong app usage?
That's what's being said.
Right.
I think. The Verge and others are saying.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well, it's around that. Varying people. Verge said one thing. Eimer said another.
Yeah.
Renee Ritchie and the crew were there. Serenity and Renee, they'll be on Mac Mic Weekly, which will be out by the time this podcast comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely listen to that. Definitely some of the people I listen to is Renee and Eimer team. They are really good at following up and very voiceover friendly. So they'll talk about
it. Yes, and he'll talk about voiceover, I'm sure.
Right.
That's, absolutely.
He always does.
He and other switch in modes, and so he's not all about blindness. He'll actually talk about. He got into a very long discussion about switch usage and motor impairment, which is kind of cool too. So the battery life is definitely kind of out there, and there's going to be real world tests. And of course, iFixit will do the teardown.
Well, you won't be able to repair this thing. Forget it.
Oh no. There is, and that's one of the concerns, right?
And the new Mac. I'm sure you won't be able to repair that either.
Speaking as someone who has an iPad Air 1, or excuse me, an iPad 1, I actually have an iPad Air 1 and an iPad 1. First generation Apple, you pays you money, you takes your chance. The first iPad did not have a camera in it. The first iPad was thought to need a keyboard dock. There was a lot of things that Apple wasn't sure about until it got out into the general user base, and then they found a little bit more about what works and what doesn't work. You are paying to be a beta tester in a way, and Gen 2 might be a lot better. So you should really investigate this watch and definitely go see it in an Apple store. And that's really kind of a good thing, is if you have access to an Apple store, you definitely want to go and play with this before you get into any idea because of the weight. Remember that they have larger ones. So if you're a gigantic individual of some kind, man, woman, what have you, linebacker, you might want the larger one. That's $50 more.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a lady who has a very thin wrist, you might want to go see how this feels and how heavy this is, or certain bands might work a little bit better for you than others. And that's definitely a concern. Now they're going to have all of this available at the Apple store. They're going to have their own display cases and some of that stuff available.
And, April 10th.
And shipping April 24th.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I will be at the AFB Leadership Conference. I may have to duck away and go look at
head on over to the Apple Store.
Head on to the Apple Store.
Yes.
All right. I will know where it is.
But there's a couple Apple things scheduled at that thing that looked interesting.
There are. There's going to be the Internet of Things they're going to be doing there, which is very fascinating. I'm very excited about that. And Google Docs training and all kinds of really great stuff. So if you're in the area or can be, you really should think about signing up and, going to the AFB Leadership Conference.
The AFB Leadership Conference, by the way, from the American Foundation for the Blind. It is this year, April 9th, 10th, 11th in Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah. So if you can still register for that. So getting a little close.
Good time of year, not too warm yet.
That's true. Yeah, and no daylight saving time, as we talked about at the front of the show. So that's a plus, definitely.
I think we should just be like China. And I'm dead serious. They have one time zone.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That'd be all right with me.
So flying back would be a lot easier when you go from coast to coast. Let me say that.
Yeah. So this is Apple until June, right? This will be the next. That'll be the next
until WWDC.
Yeah.
Is that been scheduled this year? Google I/O moved back to May.
Correct. Yeah. So they want to try and get ahead of the conversation. And Microsoft Build is in April. So we'll have definitely some Microsoft news about Windows 10, and that will be more the consumer issue stuff. The stuff we heard in January was more aimed at enterprise, and this will be a little bit more towards what they would see as a normal consumer market. There was some of that stuff that came out this week. There was the Game Developers Conference where they talked about Xbox Live for Windows being free. So if you're a gamer, that's kind of a neat thing because there's going to be some cross-compatibility between Windows 10 and Xbox One. Also, in comparison, there was a Galaxy S6 announced at World Mobile Congress. At the same time CSUN was going on, there was some accessibility news coming out of IBM, Microsoft, and others from WMC. Quickly, Jay, Galaxy S6, looks like we've got a metal phone, no plastic. It's going for a higher-end thing. We lose the ability to have kind of waterproofing. So that's a little different than the Galaxy S5. You also lose the SIM card. You lose the removable battery.
And the SD card slot, the micro SD slot.
And Samsung Pay.
Yeah, that's not a surprise considering Android Pay, which will
now that's interesting. But actually, though, there's a part of that that kind of got swept under the rug. So it's not just a copy of Google Wallet. The idea is there's an additional technology that if you wave your phone near any existing credit card swiper,
right?
Correct.
It'll work. Now,
so of course, 30 million terminals that it will work with, right, JJ?
90%, which is probably
So that's 30 million. They said 30 million. Terminals.
Which is more than Apple Pay.
I mean, that in itself. I mean, I have a credit card terminal, and for an AT guy, I mean, that in itself might be something just to play with.
And it does something very similar to Apple Pay, where it's kind of creating a one-time use number, and it's virtual magnetic striping to be able to do this. And some of that will be changed later this year when we move to a more chip and pin type philosophy. But the software is said to be very scalable, and this allows you to use phones. Remember, there's Android Pay that was also announced. So Samsung Pay and Android Pay. Basically, when you go to buy something in the future, it's going to look like it did in the 70s with all the credit card stickers, Diners Club, American Express, all these. We've actually done this before. There will be some standards that will kind of shake out. This is definitely also the banking industry kind of telling Apple they're not going to be the music industry. And that's what a lot of people are very concerned about, especially with there was a little talk about Apple Music and Beats, and maybe that'll launch at WWDC with more.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to be the music industry. And Apple can use its leverage in the United States to its advantage. But outside the United States, Apple still has an uphill battle, even in China. China actually removed some American companies from the state buying list, and Apple was one of them. And also, while we're on that same conversation, if you listen to Daily Tech News Show, there was a free trade agreement between China and Korea, South Korea. And that's going to help companies like Samsung and LG really leverage their ability to sell against Huawei and other guys inside China. So the global battle is really what's going on. You have Microsoft working on India with Windows Phone, and they still have about a 10% grab of the Europe market. And then as we were talking with people at CSUN, you had Mozilla really doing well with Firefox OS in parts of Africa. And that is a big thing as well. So it's not always about our market. Certainly it is because we live here. But outside the United States, this is still up for grabs and still a very big battle. And it's why Apple is very concerned and why they showed the opening of that China Apple store.
Well, they did China all throughout the presentation. They kept bringing China up all the time. It's a big deal.
And Tim has a lot of connections through that. I mean, certainly that's why the labor and Foxconn and all of that was able to come online. Tim is kind of the architect of all of that and has some strong ties there in order to move that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just the great thing about, somebody who's in operations running the company and has a good idea of what's going on there. But coming back to Samsung S6, I don't think this upgrade is something I want. I know a lot of people were not high on the S5, but I enjoy my S5, and I don't think I would want the S6, not for the price, not for the contract, and to lose some of those key features. That doesn't seem like something I would.
The battery's a huge one.
That's
a big deal.
I'm not upgrading. I have no reason to.
There's a different. Those were differentiators. Why would I want a phone that removes some of the most important pieces of why I got
the
S5? I
don't want the iPhone that runs Android.
Exactly.
I like Android, but I want also that some of the reasons I use Android is because, quit trying to be like Apple. Even their little charger annoys me. And I realize that's a standard micro USB 3, but still, it is slightly different. But
the rapid charger is kind of cool, though. I used it to my utmost in the coffee shop at CSUN.
But then it freaks out.
Have
you seen the Galaxy? Like, if you plan to plug in certain chargers, they said, we don't think this charger is compatible. Like, now you're trying to be like Apple. Let me turn that off. Yeah, that one. But, you know, it's out there. No, I'm going to stick with my S5 for the moment, but we'll keep filing it. So,
in related news, HTC released a phone, and I didn't care. So
coming up, we have Sound Off.
Exactly.
And
they did actually, there were some smartwatches that did come out of World Congress as being really cool things. So there's also going to be a battle in the smartwatch war in the world on things you wear.
Fair enough.
So
fair enough.
Definitely going to be something going forward. But we would love to hear what you guys have to say. We got a lot of great comments over the week when we were at CSUN, and a couple of comments about the coverage and who we should go see and who we should talk to. That was really helpful.
Did you see the thread the one night I posted on Blind Bargains? Who should we go to interview? And people started writing in like, Arkenstone, you guys should go see Blazy. Hey, is Arctic there?
Yeah. Do they have the new 215 out yet?
Yeah. I've heard a lot about the Elva Purple People Eater. It's really good. Parallel. It's making a comeback. I'm telling you. Blazy OS.
Yes. On a more serious note, we did a couple. Jim Portillo said, great NVDA interview. I'm going to go check them out, especially if it works well with Google Drive. Greg also talked about the NVDA interview. Great interview. I really like what I heard about their future plans. Keep up the great work. Michael Fair writing in is saying is really great for our coverage. Thank you so much. And I'm going to butcher this one. El Chichao.
Yes,
thank you very much, sir, for the hard work. We really appreciate the coverage. That's just a few of the tweets that I saw just skimming through. And we definitely appreciate everyone who been tweeting at us or retweeting us on the hashtag or sharing us our audio. We do really appreciate all the shout-outs.
And taking the PodTrack survey, we had talked about this on episode 7, and we kicked it out during our show notes, but we'll have it in the show notes as well here. You can help out this little podcast ever so much by going and taking the survey. It's a real short, and it allows our podcast to become better positioned and have some more flexibility and visual. It's just easy to see in a marketing term. So it gives us a little bit more of a raise and a bump, and also rating us on iTunes makes a big difference. So if you are an Apple user or you use iTunes, going over to Blind Bargains and rating us on the podcast would really help us out a great deal too. And it also helps other blindness related podcasts, because when people do searches, they will find, hey, if you like this, you might also like Dr. Carter and Tech Doctor, or you might like Access Talk, or you might like this podcast or that podcast. So that helps us out a great deal, and also helps out your friends who are also trying to bring you coverage and make you aware of the news around you. So definitely, if you get an opportunity, check out our little survey. And yes, the naming survey. We are actually working our very last moments to closing that and have a name to announce soon. Almost 200 of you have voted in on that particular survey, which is just fascinating. Some really good conversation points. We may actually pull out some of the comments and put them out as an article so you guys can see some of the things we were seeing inside the survey. Even one or two of you recommending some things that we might not be covering on the podcast may be of an adult nature. Thank you. Thank you for that. It made the survey reading very interesting.
That could be the paid subscription of the podcast if you wanted to do that sometime. You could.
Or not.
Oh, would that be Blind Bargains Now or whatever?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
$15 a month.
Now. Yeah. And a streaming option. You want to hear all the stuff that didn't make Blindy TV?
Yeah.
We call that the Blind Blackmail Bargains is what we call that.
But thanks to everyone again who helped out with a CSUN coverage.
Definitely.
Thanks to everyone.
All the people that we interviewed, and some of the people that we haven't been able to air yet, or some of the things that we have coming up. Lots of listeners came up to me. Lady N, Corey Ballard, Sean Keen. There were a lot of people that ran up to Jay and I and told us what they like about the new show, what they really appreciate and what they would like to see us do in the future. And that really helped a great deal too. So it was really fun to be able to meet the listeners on the floor. And that's how we knew that there were a lot of blind people there because they listened to the show, which was really rewarding.
That's true. Hey, we have some sighted listeners too, which is good. And, you know, I know we have some teachers and professionals out there that use a show like this to kind of help them keep up to date. And that's really cool as well. So, of course, you can write feedback at blindbargains.com. You can go at blindbargains on Twitter. You can go to blindbargains.com, click on contact us and do it that way. So lots of places, of course, you can just kind of, you know, keep up to date with us, and you can comment on any post. We do have a comment thing on any Blind Bargains post. It's kind of like a blog, and you can, whether it's our actual show post or any of our audio posts, feel free to let us know what you think of those things or comment on the content of them and just kind of go along with that. And sometimes we'll reply to them if you have any questions, we do watch out for that. Or you can, a lot of times we'll just let you guys talk and, you know, let us know what you think.
And that's why we invited two other people to try and keep us awake from all our work that we did at CSUN. Jamie, people can find you at twitter.com/JamiePauls. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. You can email me, jamiepauls@gmail.com, or I'm doing some work with the great folks over at AppleVis.
Yes.
So jamie@applevis.com will
also
reach me.
You guys
are
doing some cool stuff. So AppleVis started doing monthly app updates now, like a what's new thing and some other.
Yeah,
what else do you guys have?
Yeah.
Any other really cool things planned? Or
there's always new podcast audio. Of course, our basically the people who are on AppleVis submit content, as well as the AppleVis team. So you never know what you're going to find up there. There's always some
boards,
some good
forums,
stuff there.
And reviews, and so much more. And you're an author. I heard a little birdie tell me that you write now.
I am going to be, you will be seeing, rather, some articles from me on Access World. Really excited about that. That's a great group of people to work with. And it's kind of an area of my life that I've always wanted to develop and just never have. And now I have good reason and some good role models, to, including Mr. Muddall himself, to kind of look at some writing.
My CSUN article will be coming out in the next couple of days from the exhibit hall. So you've heard a bit of a preview of that. But a little more from that will be in there as well.
And someone who's influenced me and this very show, Mr. Jeff Bishop. And what's coming up for Main Menu? You captured some audio, right?
Yeah, we got some exhibit coverage. And also David was at CSUN as well. So he captured actually more than I did. I was pretty busy because I went to CSUN for work. And so I had to really prioritize sessions and things. So he actually has a lot more sessions than I do as far as recordings, but we're going to be putting that stuff up. And so a lot more coming there. You can find me on Twitter as well at twitter.com/Jeff Bishop. And you can email me jeff@jeffbishop.com.
And to keep up on what's going on with Main Menu on Twitter, where can they find announcements?
You can follow twitter.com/Main Menu, or you can go to mainmenu.acbradio.org.
There you go. So if you hadn't gotten enough audio from us, you're going to be able to hear some more audio over there at Main Menu, which is super cool and super stellar. And more audio than you know what to do with. And before you know it, doggone it, it'll end up being summer and we'll be right back at it with NFB ACB. Remember, we'll have our regular coverage that we have had in the past, as well as another one of those articles that helps people figure out where to go and how to do it on the cheap and the fly.
You guys will be doing that because I'll be at the booth.
Yes, you will be tied down to two tables.
We'll be selling AT Guys stuff.
Are you going to both, JJ?
Well, they're the same week, so we're still working on it. I know we will be in Orlando, and we'll see where we go from there. But they are the same week, unfortunately, which did not bet on that a little earlier. And
that's kind of strange that happened.
Yep.
But between then, we've got Microsoft, Apple, Google, and all sorts of other stuff that is not tech related. We're going to actually talk to some people about other things that are not tech. Like I said, we launched at an auspicious time where there was just going to be a whole bunch of tech all at once. But by far, there is more sandwich makers and kitchens to be burned down by, Jay.
Yeah, we got a Janine Limebeck tip, I think, scheduled in Friday for the next episode. The one after CSUN. CSUN over about cooking French fries. I'll try this. I'm going to have to do a review of the tip.
Damn.
See if it was successful.
And also our shout out to Eden. Her text broker was well received. We got a lot of feedback about that and a lot of people tweeting about that. So remember, if you've got some ideas like what Nimer and others have sent in, feedback at blindbargains.com.
And if you're going to buy a watch, do let us know.
We would love an audio unboxing, you know, because that's going to be fantastic. That's going to be neat. And some feeling about that. We could do maybe a shootout. We'll bring Nimer on and we'll just have Apple versus Android. Isn't that what people like or tell us they want to hear or something like that? At least that's what they used to tell me for the last couple of years. And then you go and you do a show where you switch people around and people just get all upset.
Oh man, they don't like that.
No, they don't.
I have not so fond memories of doing something.
Yeah, just almost
like
about a
that.
Year ago. Yeah. April Fool coming around again. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid. For JJ, Jeff, Jamie, and myself, thank you for listening, especially with a couple of brain dead people here on a podcast. But we thought it was very important to get this information out there and kind of put it all together. Remember, next week we've got CSUN 30 stories, and then we'll be back to our normal show right after that. Keep listening, and thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.